In a world where high school sports don't exist. Wait, no. We don't like that world. Different world, please. Ah, that's better. The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Central Valley Sports Report. You found us here on 1430 ESPN. I am your host, Paul Metters. October 22nd, the year of our Lord, 2022. I walked outside this morning to come here to First String Sports, and it finally felt like fall. Was it there a 15 degree drop in temperatures from yesterday to today? I think it got up to like 88 degrees yesterday, but looking at the forecast for next week, finally getting into the 70s. So 70 straight across the board, feels like football weather, even though we have only one more week of the regular season before we hit playoffs. Again, thank you guys for tuning in every Saturday from 10 to 12 here at First String Sports. We're going to be breaking down all the hot high school football action. And what incredible night of football we had last night. Incredible. Couple upsets we're going to be talking about. League rivals playing against each other, setting up a phenomenal last week of the regular season. It was incredible. It was incredible. And the game that we broadcasted last night on 1430 ESPN, I say we, me and Jose Gonzalez, we broadcasted the Clovis West and Central football game at Central, at Collegian Stadium. And we know the story about Clovis West, 8-0 coming to the year, two games away from a perfect regular season. Central, six or three losses on the season. And you guys know that all three of their losses were at home? They hadn't won a home game. Can you believe that? Yep, Central Grizzlies had not won a home game all year. Well, until last night. 45-0, the Grizzlies just handed it to Clovis West. That defense was on fire. Four interceptions in that game. The offense was absolutely clicking. Dayton Tafoya threw five touchdown passes, 283 yards on 20 of 33 attempts. Man, that Central, that was a huge, huge statement game for the Grizzlies. They were clicking, like I said, on all cylinders. Every play that Coach Kyle Biggs dialed up on offense worked. The defense, again, with those four interceptions, putting pressure on the quarterback, making all the throws just difficult throws for them, stopped the running game. Just a great statement win for Central. The other upset. Buchanan goes down to Clovis North, 28-21. That was a little bit of a shock as well. We weren't really shock at the Central and Buchanan or the Central and Clovis West game, but I think the score was a shock, 45-0. But we weren't really shocked that Central beat Clovis West. Central's been playing. They figured something out. They figured something out against Clovis East the week before when they went up 56-0 at half, had a running clock. So actually, last night's game was a running clock, too, in the fourth quarter. So the last two games in the track, Central has played to a running quarter because they were up by 35 points or more. Incredible, incredible performance by the Grizzlies. All right. I'm going to be breaking down the games until break. And then Gabe Camarillo, as always, does an incredible job producing my show and has his own show, Home Field Advantage, Monday through Thursday. He gets 2 hours to talk about high school sports, a little bit of Fresno State as well. But talking with Gabe after the break, he was at a few games last night, and we are definitely going to be talking about the wild and wacky updated Cal Prep standings. Oh, I can't wait to share these with you. I don't want to tease it too much, but yeah, there are a few surprises. And especially the ratings, man. These ratings are super, super close. So Gabe will do a good job helping me break this down and set up some scenarios for next week in the final games. At the bottom of hour number one, around 10:30, let's say 10:32, Kingsburg head coach Dave Wilson is coming on. His Vikings are 8-1 on the year. They beat Reedley last night, 34-0. They had that epic game against CBC the week before, and they lost by a single point in front of 6,000 people. So it'll be fun to talk to Kingsbury coach Dave Wilson at the top of hour number two. Trevor Horn, actually talked to him, I think, in maybe my fourth show of the year, either late August or early September. And he is the associate athletic director and sports information director for Garces High School. And he does a phenomenal job. He broadcasts all their home games on YouTube. He's the play-by-play guy. He's a writer for the Bakersfield, California. So he does an excellent job. And we'll get a better idea of the landscape of Bakersfield area teams, how they stack up, maybe some sleeper teams, what they might be able to do in the playoffs. So always fun to talk to Trevor. That will be at top of hour number two. At the bottom of hour number two, our 1430 ESPN Student Athlete of the Week, Yajay Vance of Edison. If you guys did not hear about the game that this kid had last week against Justin Garza, well, he only threw for 499 yards and 8 touchdowns. Yes, 8 touchdowns. One away from the Central Section record, which was 9. He was named Cal High Sports NorCal Player of the Year or Player of the Week. Just had an incredible game. And then last night, he only throws for 4. Only threw 4 touchdowns in a win against Madera. He ran for 1. So 5 total touchdowns for him. So look forward to that bottom of hour number 2. All right, I got about 5 minutes here to run down some of these games as quick as possible. And other CMAC action, we mentioned that Edison did beat Madera. That score was 49-22. San Joaquin Memorial over Justin Garza, 51-6. I got another little storyline with that. So Brandon Ramirez is on the show as well, Fresno State commit. Before this game, before the Garza game last night, two games combined before that, he had 10 carries for 341 yards and 8 touchdowns. So 10 carries, 8 touchdowns. So only 2 times was he tackled inbounds. So last night, he scored 2 touchdowns on 5 carries. So according to my Common Core math, so his last 15 carries, he scored 10 touchdowns. So only 5 times he's been tackled when carrying the ball. Just an incredible, mind-boggling stat. Brandon Ramirez from San Joaquin Memorial. Sanger beat Bullard 42-6. Look at the Apaches. Those guys are hot, hot, hot right now. That sets up a final game against San Joaquin Memorial for the CMAC championship. Both teams are 4-0. That is going to be a whopper at San Joaquin Memorial. Can't wait to see what happens in that one. In East Sequoia League action, Corcoran beat Strathmore. Good win for Corcoran, 13-6. Farmersville beat Orange Cove, 35-14. Orosi beat Woodlake, 28-14. I have a fun note about that for Orosi. Andrew Camarillo, he already had a 300-yard rushing game. Well, last night, he rushed for 436 yards on 41 carries, scored 3 touchdowns. 436 rushing yards and 41 carries. That is an absolute load. That's a lot of carries. So congrats to Orosi and Andrew on that one. In East Sequoia League action, Mount Whitney beat Menachi 14-7. Porterville beat El Diamante 42-13. And Redwood, the Rangers, beat Golden West 23-7. In the Mountain Division, Paso Robles beat Napomo 34-12. Mission Prep had a little bit of a tough time with Rigetti, beat them 27-19. And St. Joseph beat Lompoc 48-34. That was a tightly contested game. Lompoc actually had the lead for a little bit. St. Joe's a little bit too much for them, so they come away with a 14-point win. Madera South beat Hoover 35-21. Roosevelt beat Sanger West 26-12. And Sunnyside beat McLean 36-6. In Northwest Sequoia action, Carruthers beat Chowchilla 49-12. Fowler beat Yosemite 42-7. Liberty Madera over Riverdale 56-21. They are now 9-0 on the season. Minarets beat Parlier 26-0. Let's go down to Southwest Yosemite River League. Garces beat Centennial. That's a huge win for the Rams, 24-14. We'll be talking about that game a little bit more with Trevor Horn when he comes on a little after 11 o'clock. So what that means is that now Garces qualifies for the playoffs. Yeah, they needed that third win right there. But then they got it last night against a good Centennial team. So they got their third win, so they'll qualify for the playoffs. And, they are battle-tested. Those guys have been in every game. They haven't been blown out except for that first game of the year against Los Alamitos. Liberty of Bakersfield, another statement game all over Frontier, 45-7. Where are the Patriots going to land in the playoffs? Where do they land right now? Where are they on Cal Preps? Well, we'll be talking about that after the break with Gabe. Bakersfield Christian beat Highland 48-21. Central Valley Christian beat Washington Union. Definitely not a trap game for them. Those Cavaliers are good. They beat them 42-12. Saw some highlights last night on ABC 30, our friends over there. And, yeah, they, you know, Jaden Moore is an absolute load, number eight. He is an incredible player, two-way player, head of the University of Oregon. Kerman beat Selma 56-18. Damon Jenkins, congratulations to him in his first year as head coach of the Kerman Lions. Tri-County Sequoia, Hanford West beat Emmanuel 13-7. And then again, in the track, let's go. Let's remind you guys about these games. So Central beat Clovis West 45-0. Clovis beat Clovis East 56-34. Look at those Cougars. Freshman Deegan Rose. Every time I was checking Twitter, he's throwing a touchdown pass. That's a lot of points in that game. Again, Clovis East is down some players. They started off non-league, very, very promising, and, you know, won that first game in league on that Hail Mary against Clovis North. But they ran into some tough times with some injuries. Clovis North, again, beat Buchanan 28-21. In West Sierra League action, Kalinga beat Tranquility 46-6. Dos Palos beat Fireball 41-21. Mendota beat Avenel 19-7. And Lemoore beat Tulare Western 49-0. Those Tigers are good. That sets up a final game against Hanford for the championship. That is going to be an incredible, incredible football game. I need to mention that Mission Oak plays at Hanford tonight at 7 o'clock. All right, there's a nice little rundown of the high school games from last night. A few of those upsets. And coming up after the break, we'll talk with Gabe Camarillo about the games that he went to. And these wild and wacky Cal Prep standings, where are all these teams going to land? Who beat who? And this team beat that team? And can this team go above this team because they beat them? And just all kinds of crazy scenarios coming up on 1430 ESPN. You found us here. Central Valley Sports Report, 1430 ESPN. I'm your host, Paul Metters. Just something that I want to bring up a little bit in the opening segment is just how fun this is and how sports are meant to be fun, right? I know there's politics involved and there's, you know, angry parents and angry coaches maybe and you know, a lot of things behind the scenes that, you know, that kind of come with the territory. But it's always good to remember that sports are supposed to be fun, and this is fun. I have fun doing this. I have fun calling games, talking with coaches, talking with players, talking with Gabe. We're going to do here in just a second, but you know, it's always a good reminder that it is a game. I know it's metaphors for life, and a lot of life lessons can come from sports, and they certainly do. But you know, games are supposed to be fun, and Friday Night Lights certainly are fun. So, as always, bringing in Gabe Camarillo. Gabe does an incredible job getting all the information out there, interviewing players and coaches as well. Gabe, I want to start with some games before we get into the Cal Preps rankings, which is going to be a lot of fun to decipher for the rest of the week, and then obviously after next week's games. But I think you went to three games last night. I think you were at Sanger Bullard for a little bit. You were at Kingsburg Reedley and then Sunnyside McLean. Let's start with Sanger and Bullard. Man, those Apaches are playing really, really good football when it matters the most late in the year.
Yeah, I had a feeling with that schedule that they put together with teams like Lemoore as well as Clovis and Clovis East that they were going to be battle tested for the CMAC. And that's exactly what we've seen. The Sanger Apaches, they do couple things really, really well. They run the football with precision. They play great defense. They tackle really well. And you saw it if you watched the TV game, right? The TV broadcast for the CW was at Sanger for Sanger Bullard. If you watched it on television, you know exactly what I'm talking about. The Apaches just look like a very well-coached squad, like a squad that has learned a lesson or two. And that's going to serve them well because next week is the biggest game of their season. They're playing for the CMAC championship at San Joaquin Memorial. And a couple years ago, you might remember, same situation, two undefeated teams, the Panthers and the Apaches, and the Apaches won on the Panthers home field. So I know that the Panthers, as much as they have riding in their favor, they have some motivation on their minds.
Yeah, and Bullard, unfortunately, now they are 3-6. They got a really young squad. A lot of their skill position players are sophomores, so they'll only get better in the next couple years. And then, you know, I got Coach Dave Wilson coming on after our segment, but Kingsburg and Reedley, Kingsburg's defense, I like to start with them because their defense just absolutely flies all over the field, man. I think Reedley had only one chance to score, got the ball, you know, in the red zone one time. But, yeah, that defense is really good, and their offense is very opportunistic as well.
The offense is awesome. I was watching Ethan Winslow in warmups, and he's 6'2" tall, and he's a big quarterback. He has a big arm, and the way he was flinging it around during warmups, he did the same thing in the first quarter to Wyatt Boyd. He had a big, like, 50-yard pass completion that set up Chase Jackson's first score. That offense for Kingsburg is so fun to watch. I described it on Twitter as a well-oiled machine because there's not one piece that's out of line. There's a purpose to every single person. All 11 Vikings on the offensive side of the ball, they all have a job to do, and they performed it extremely well yesterday. It's a reason why they beat Reedley, and a big win for the Vikings to stay in that top two in the Division II. I know they want that rematch against CVC in the championship game.
And just as wild and wacky, Division I playoffs are going to be and figure out the seedings. Division II, man, that is going to be a lot of fun to talk about and watch as well. And Sunnyside, McLean. Sunny, I think McLean just got a late touchdown in that one. But, yeah, Sunnyside pretty much dominated that one, right?
Yeah, Sunnyside should win the NYL. They beat Torres last Friday to kind of clinch their spot and win their, second straight NYL title. Now it's just about determining where you're going to play in D3 playoffs.
And last night, Central, Clovis West, right? We've been hyping that game up all week. On your show on Thursday, I was able to come on, and we were able to chop it up a little bit. And both of us were leaning towards Central. We thought that Central had the upper hand in that one. They were at home, even though Central's all three losses have been at home. But we just had a feeling Central was playing really good football. Clovis West has had a magical season. Felt like the ball has really bounced Clovis West's way this year. Hail Mary, a couple penalties here have really helped them against that drive, against Buchanan in that final drive to take the lead. But could we have predicted 45-0, 17-0 at halftime? But then they just really, really poured it on in the second half.
I believe in karma. I believe if you make a mistake, if you have something go against you, that break will go for you the next time. And for Central, they've had a couple of bad breaks. You think about their three losses and how close they were. They lost to San Joaquin Memorial despite having the ball and a chance to go ahead on the final drive. They lost to Liberty despite that game being 10-7 in the third quarter. And then Tafoya throws a pick six, a 98-yard pick six. That totally changes the complexion of that game. And then the Buchanan game, they just scored too much but too late. You know, they scored not enough in the fourth quarter. They had 20-7 an advantage in the fourth quarter and still lost 49-41. So I think this has been something brewing for the Central Grizzlies. I know that the Grizzlies kind of have had this thing this year above them, like, well, are they as good as they were back in 19 and 18? And I think the answer is still no to that because those 19 and 18 teams were loaded with D1 talent. And Amari Conley is great for the Grizzlies, but this is actually a team. This version of the Central Grizzlies is as true of a team as it gets. And the word definition of team is they play for each other. They sacrifice things for each other. They learned how to lose together, you know? And sometimes you got to learn from the losses to learn how to win. And I think that's what happened with the Grizzlies. Clovis West, when you're undefeated, when you have the target on your back, it's hard to play like that sometimes. It's really hard because you're used to being the hunter and not the hunted. And now you're getting every team's full energy. They're 100%. That's hard. And so I'm not surprised that Clovis West lost, but losing 45-0 is a bit surprising. But to be honest, Central just put up 56 points on Clovis East. They've been on a roll. And Clovis West has had a couple of close calls the last 2 weeks. Clovis North only lost to Clovis West by a touchdown, and Clovis East had a chance with an onside kick that didn't go their way. So, yeah, this has been something that's been in the development for the last couple weeks. Did I expect 45-0? No. But was I surprised by Central winning? Also, no.
And, yeah, so the The rankings populated. So I kept hitting refresh because they actually hadn't put in the San Joaquin Memorial win. So they had them at 6-2 for a while. And then about 5 minutes before the show started, hit refresh and boom, updated. All right, yeah. So here we go, Gabe. Let's try to chop this up the best we can for the next few minutes. Now, we still have Clovis West at number one. And we're going to get into the ratings in just a second because those are really close. But Clovis West, despite the loss to Central, is still number one at 8-1. Buchanan holds at number two, right, at 7-2 record. Liberty, number three, 7-2. Central is number four right now. They are 6-3 on the season. Central Valley Christian actually got bumped up to number five. They are 9-0 on the year. They cannot play in Division One. They can go up to Division Two, and most likely they'll be the number one seed in Division Two. San Joaquin Memorial now is the number fifth team in Division One. They are 7-2, right? Because they have those two losses to Queen Creek and then that loss to Buchanan. Then you got St. Joe's, Clovis North, Clovis, Garces, Centennial, Redwood, and Hanford. Looks like those might be the Division One team. So, Gabe, how in the world is Cal Preps going to sort this out? Even talking about the rating, let's go over that really, really quick. The rating for Clovis West is 41.7. Buchanan is 40.6. Liberty is 40. Central is 38.8. And San Joaquin Memorial is 38.2. Tons of scenarios. I mean, San Joaquin Memorial beat Central, and I could go on and on about who beat who, but, I mean, where do we even start with?
Yeah, so you start there. Central's going to be the fifth seed right now if the season were to end because they did not beat San Joaquin Memorial. Yep. So Despite beating Clovis West, because Central right now is 38.8 and Clovis West is 41.7, that's not within two rating points of each other. That head-to-head win will not come into effect. It's frustrating for the Grizzlies, but this just shows you how important head-to-head is with the new computer rating system. So West Buchanan Liberty stay true in the top three. Liberty is 0.6 rating points below Buchanan, and they lose the head-to-head because despite there only being three quarters of a football game played, there was still a football game played, and Buchanan still had more points than Liberty at the end of that football game. So Buchanan does have the head-to-head over Liberty. Clovis West has a head-to-head over Buchanan, and SJM gets the head-to-head over Central. So if you're the Grizzlies right now, there's not much else you can do. You beat the number one team in the Valley. That should earn you a first-round bye, but it won't because they lost to Memorial in week two.
Yeah, that's pretty wild. And, again, Clovis West, their only losses to Central, but they got wins over Buchanan. There's Clovis North, Clovis East, Turlock, Lemoore, Bullard, and Ridgeview, and then Edison. But Liberty's two losses were to Buchanan, the game you talked about, and then a really good Carlsbad team, 27-0.
I was going to clarify something else too. If you're on calpreps.com later today, you might notice that Clovis East is 26 and Clovis North is 26.9 and Clovis East beat Clovis North. Here's why Clovis East will not be ahead of Clovis North. I just called Ryan Toss before the show and he said if there is a confusing layer of head-to-heads in league, the next tiebreaker is league finish. The caveat is head-to-head tiebreaker can be used if needed. But you can also go down to league finish, and right now, Clovis North is tied for third in league 2-2. Clovis East is 1-3, and Clovis High School is 1-3. So the way I have it, it's Clovis North, 7 seed, Clovis High School, 8 seed, and Clovis East, 9 seed.
Yeah, Central 3-1, Clovis West 3-1, North and Buchanan both 2-2, and then Clovis and Clovis East at 1-3. So Division 2, how's that going to shape up? We're looking at CVC number 1. Kingsburg number two, most likely. So CVC plays Emmanuel, and Kingsburg plays Selma. No offense to those two teams, but those are going to be wins for those top two seeds. But, oh, my gosh, some of these other teams are going to fall. So we got – I'm thinking of like obviously Lemoore, right, is probably going to be the number three seed. But now you got Sanger to talk about, and you got Lompoc to talk about.
You know who's happy?
St. Joseph's stuff.
You know who's happy about this recent turn of events? Hanford. Hanford's back in Division 2 now because Garces beat Centennial. So Garces leapfrogged from D2 up to D1. So now Hanford falls into the fourth seed in D2. I'm going to watch them play tonight against Mission Oak. I might ask Kenan Sanchez. I don't know if he'll tell me the truth, but he might be like, well, we'll play whoever's in front of us. I'm sure Hanford's happy to be in D2 because let's be honest, right? Them playing Central in the first round, not an ideal situation.
No, Hanford's happy, but I don't think the other Division II schools are happy to hear that. Only one town and one school is happy to hear that. But Anyway, great stuff as always, Gabe. We wish you had more time. Hey, let's talk about this stuff more next week. How about
that? How about Thursday?
Yeah, how about Thursday? Sounds good to me. All right, Gabe Camarillo, follow him at Twitter, at Gabe Camarillo _. Also, listen to him Monday through Thursday, 3 to 5. Good job by you, my friend. Thanks, Paul. All right, that's Gabe Camarillo. Coming up after the break, we're going to be talking with Kingsburg head coach Dave Wilson. He's already in the house here at First String Sports, and maybe that was news to him about Hanford possibly and most likely falling to Division II. We'll be talking about that and a lot more coming up on the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN. Welcome to the Central Valley Sports Report. I'm your host, Paul Metters. Just spent the first half an hour or so talking about the games from last night, trying to break down the rankings as much as possible. Man, it's like a full-time job to do this. There's always a lot more we can talk about. If you want to go back and listen to any interviews that we do here on 1430 ESPN, just go to the 1430 ESPN website, go to the tab. It says podcast. You can find the Central Valley Sports Report, Jose Gonzalez Show, Home Field Advantage, Bulldog Hour, Tony D. You could go back and listen to past interviews. In the past, I've had McKay Christensen. That was a lot of fun. That was a really good interview. Efren Gazar. Oh, that was a powerful interview from a couple weeks ago. So you can go back and listen to those at your leisure. Just get your iPod, your device, and put your headphones in and check those out. All right. Talking with Dave Wilson, coach of Kingsburg High School. The Vikings are 8-1. Shut out Reedley last night, 34-0. Had that incredible game against CVC that we're going to talk about. Always fun to talk to Dave. Got a lot of connections. He's a Kingsburg guy. I'm a Traver guy. Traver kids, my students, go to Kingsburg High. Been texting a lot this year, but I want to start off. I want to go back in time a little bit.
Sure.
All right. A little bit of a curveball to start this interview.
Oh, no.
I don't know. Okay. I think you're ready, but I think this is going to surprise you. All right.
We'll find out, right? Oh,
so the year's 1989.
Okay.
Now let's go to 88. Let's go back to 88, and you're in charge of the WWF right now and WrestleMania 3.5. So we're throwing in another WrestleMania in
all
between
right.
3 and 4.
Yeah.
All right? The main event's a tag team extravaganza. Who do you choose in the tag team back in 1988?
Man.
And why? Who are your guys back then? Because I know you're a big wrestling guy.
Yeah.
Or you used to be.
Well, you know, tag wrestling, you know, first of all, tag wrestling in the 80s was much more popular, you know, so – has to be the WWF, right?
Yeah, okay. Absolutely.
Well, I think you have to put the Hart Foundation in there.
Okay.
You know, Jimmy. Anvil Neidhart. I mean, come on, that beard. so those are probably, you know, and I think they were pretty much the bad guys most of the time.
The heels. They call them the heels.
So we need a baby face to face them. And I'm not sure if this might predate the Midnight Rockers, you know, that's the Shawn Michaels, Marty Jannetty. But I was always a huge fan of the Killer Bees.
Yeah.
B. Brian Blair and Jumping Jim Bronzel, right? I mean, let's go.
Those just roll off the tongue for
yeah,
you.
Yeah, yeah. And that means you got Jimmy Hart out, you know, causing havoc on the floor, you know. And I think at some point the Killer Bees throw those masks on so that they can hide their identity and they can break a few rules and they end up beating the Hart Foundation for the championship.
And bringing out a chair or two, right? Busting some heads and some chairs.
Oh my God. My wife is shaking her head right now. Yeah. She still, I occasionally throw on a little big time wrestling and, are you ever going to stop watching this?
The answer is no. No. It's entertainment to the nth degree. Oh my gosh. That's so much fun. Yeah. All right. All right, I did throw you a little curveball.
No,
there,
I appreciate it.
Yeah,
man, that was a curveball.
Yeah, that was. You had no
idea. I was a more territorial guy. I was a big NWA Ric Flair fan.
Okay.
You know, the old wrestling in the South. That's what I liked.
All right, so last night's game.
Yeah.
All right, against Reedley, 34-0. Your defense played lights out, and we're talking off air a little bit. And most of your defense are juniors, so those kids are coming back. You even got a couple sophomores there. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, you know, describe last night's game. I know you guys went up pretty you know, 27-0 at halftime, I believe, and you know Trace Jackson is a stud running back. And,
yeah,
you know your quarterback Winslow is a really good player as well.
Yeah, our kids were real motivated. Obviously, the week before having that big game at home with Central Valley Christian, and I know I, as well as the guys, were really eager to just kind of get back on the field, you know, and get that good feeling back. And we got a lot of respect for Reedley. Coach Gates and his staff do a good job, and they're a team that's building. They're on the rise. I mean, if you look at Tony and what he's been able to do the last couple of years, he's done a good job. He understands that community, and it was a big night. I mean, it was funny because, you know, as you know, the week before, it was a big game. A lot of people – it was a game of year,
yeah,
according to Highway 99,
yeah,
right? And so I'm sitting there, and it was Reedley's first game in their new stadium. Well, I mean, refurbished.
Yeah.
And I looked over, and it's packed, you know, and you can just see the culture there. I mean, Reedley wants a good football team bad, and they have one. They have one with the group they have now. And so I knew coming in our guys would have to really get off, and we did. We came out early on, and Ethan hit a couple big ones, and then Trace did his thing. I think he had about 170 yards or something and a couple touchdowns. And in the first half, we did a really good job. We spread the ball around. We were able to use our weapons on offense. Our O-line did a great job defensively. We run really well, and we were able to Breeley's real physical, big,
yeah,
offensive line, and so we were able to sort of do some things there, and I was happy. I was happy, especially with the first half. Second half, you know, like good coaches, they come out, make some adjustments, and they were able to do that, especially on defense. And our guys can maybe kind of put it in neutral for a little bit. I mean, they're teenage kids.
Yeah.
It tends to happen. so it was frustrating in that way, just because, you know, not being able to get some first downs and being able to move the sticks at like we wanted to, like you want to do, you know, when you're playing a game like that. That was frustrating. But, you know, and that's the beauty of football, you know. Even when you might think, okay, this team's outmatched and we pretty much have this in hand, there's so much stuff we can get better at, you know. And so the kids hate it on Monday,
yeah,
because, you know, they want to come in and just party and watch the film and have a good old ball. And we're just sitting there going, oh, my gosh, what are you doing here?
Yeah.
What are you doing there? And that's the nature of football, you know. You're always getting better, you know. And it was good for us. It was good for us to come out. We did some really good things. I mean, like I said, Gavin Jensen on defense was lights out.
Three interceptions?
Three interceptions, and he'll get frustrated because he probably should have had a fourth.
Yeah.
He's the first guy to tell you that. But, man, pick six was exciting. And so, yeah, no, it was nice to get back on the winning side.
Talking with Dave Wilson, head coach at Kingsburg High School. All right, so let's go back and, you know, talk about that CVC game. And obviously you guys – you guys were on the short end of an incredible game, 27-26. But I want you to describe more. And we talked a lot about this on 1430, but yeah, from your perspective, right? You're a Kingsburg grad, and you've been the head coach. This is your eighth year, I believe, or eighth year as the head coach. And you're Kingsburg through and through. You live in the community as well. But just talk about the atmosphere and the buildup, and if you were even able to turn around a couple times during the game and look at the crowd and kind of take it all in, and, you know, just describe from your perspective the atmosphere from last week.
Yeah, no, I mean, I told our kids, you know, there's very few moments in your high school career where you get to play in games like that. You know, they're few. No, I don't want to say they're few and far between, because there's always one or two games every year where you're like, okay, this is a big game. And I knew, recognizing, looking at the schedule, Coach Hughes and I had discussed even early in the year, like looking at the way things were lined up, and we're like, hey, we could probably both be 7-0 going into that game. And sure enough, we were. And so, I mean, the good thing about our kids is, and I told them, like, we've played in big games. And so they kind of know how to turn it on for that. It's kind of nice. We have some good senior leaders with Trace and Ethan and Connor and just some other guys, Jake Bray and Jimmy Cranford. I mean, he's playing really well up front. I mean, those guys probably don't get enough credit. But, yeah, I mean, that was the one thing I told him pregame. I get kind of emotional pregame because football's emotional. You know, when you put in the amount of work, you know, it's a sport where you practice 80% of the time and you get to play 20%. You know, basketball, baseball, you get to play every other day, you know. And so when you put in that work, it's easy to – you know, you get emotional about things. And so that was one thing I told our guys, man, hey, at some point when we go out there, and I don't know if you've ever seen our pregame, I think we do it really well. And take a second and look, you know, and take it all in. Yeah. And I have to tell myself that too.
We got the bagpipes.
Right? Yeah. We're not quite Scottish, but gosh, we started playing bagpipes about 4 years ago, and it's just, it's kind of really nice. It kind of just sort of gets everybody's attention. It's like, hey, here we come, you know? And I even had to tell myself, like, hey, stop for a second, Dave, like, take this in, because you know how coaches are. You're a coach. You're constantly just dwelling on what you got to do better. And sometimes, you know, it's like, hey, take this in. This is fun. And it was for both sides. I thought CVC brought a lot of emotion. There was, I mean, for a school that's not very big, brought a lot of people. And then obviously our community showed out. It was elementary night, so that helped, you know. And we have a big stadium. You know, mm-hmm. It's probably, you know, when you have a stadium that seats probably 7,000 people in a community that's about 10,000, yeah. It's kind of funny. But, I'd say in my 8 years and in my, you know, 15, 16 years of being at Kingsburg High School, I've probably only seen the stadium filled up like that maybe a couple times. And so, you know, we get a lot of support. It's a great community, you know. Kingsburg loves its football. They love their athletics, period.
Yeah.
And obviously football is one of those. And so when they decide it's time to support the Vikings, they come out, and it was a lot of fun.
And you sent me a few pictures of like a helicopter view or maybe a drone view.
It was
view.
A drone.
It was a drone view of what the stadium looked like that night. And that, you know, from the people that I talked to that went to the game, they're describing exactly as you did, just as far as the community and everybody rallying together, and just a great football game, right? Just an incredible football game. And, you know, it might be a little more foreshadowing of what the playoffs might look like. I know you got one more game, and so does Central Valley Christian, and then we'll see how all these rankings flesh out in the next couple of weeks. But last year, you guys were the 4 seed in D2, and you ran into a really good Buller team who were the number 1 seed. And, you know, we're not going to get into whether or not Buller should have been in that division. They wanted to be in Division 1, so sure. I know that that they had a lot of respect for your program at that time, talked to a lot of Buller people about that. Mm-hmm. But you know, and then you're going to be probably the number 2 seed in Division 2. What do you think your kids learned from that game, the kids that are now playing on your team? Did they take anything away? I know you've scheduled, you know, the Buchanan, San Joaquin Memorial in the past. Or, you know, the big schools don't intimidate you, so to speak. But, you know, what did you guys learn about playoff atmosphere and really rising to the occasion from last year?
That's the funny thing, real quick, though, with our athletic director. You know, Bullard beat us, I think, in 3 other sports. In like the playoffs, and it was kind of the joke. Like the ADs got together, and the Bullard AD would just say, "I'm sorry, Scott." Yeah. Like it's like, oh, man, we keep running into you guys. Yeah. You know what? One thing I think our kids really learned, Paul, and even a couple weeks ago against CVC, is that when you get in big games with big time opponents, margins for error are so small.
Yeah.
You know, and I told the kids that, you know, penalties are magnified. You know, turnovers are just magnified, and you've got to play well. You've got to minimize your mistakes. You can't shoot yourself in the foot, and you have to as a defense, especially, try to force those types of things. You know, when you look at the statistics against CVC, they're almost mirrored.
They are.
You know, I think they ran about 8 or 9 more plays than we did, but you know, they had the one turnover. I think we had the penalties, but you know, they had some penalties too. It was a good officiated game. It was just a good high school football game. I mean, if I was a fan watching, I think I would have said the same thing. I mean, we scored 4 times, they scored 4 times. You know, the big moment, we had the ball going in to get up by 2 scores, you know, and we missed a guy in the end zone, and then we obviously missed a field goal, which kind of set us back. And then, hey, hats off to them, man. They were able to take advantage of that. They drove down the field, and we were able to answer, and you know, with about 5 minutes, we had to stop him, and we didn't, you know, and we had a couple penalties that extended drives, and then they just made plays. I was real impressed with their quarterback. You know, we obviously had an idea what we wanted to do, and I think we were able to do what we wanted to do defensively. We wanted to force certain guys to beat us, and you take their hat off to the Bakker kid. He's a veteran quarterback. I mean, what he lacks in ability, he makes up for in just, you know, poise and experience. And you know, and they when you know they keep rolling out a 6'5" receiver, and I just can't. I don't quite have enough 6 foot whatever defenders. Yeah. But at the same time, our guys did everything they needed to do to win that football game, and there's just a few things in the margins I think we can get better at. You know, and that's always the difference. Bringing it back to big time games, I think that's really what it is. You know, and you watched the Bullard game last year. We had opportunities early on, especially in the goal line, you know, where we made mistakes, and you know, and if you don't capitalize on those in big moments, good teams like Bullard, like last year, they're going to take advantage of that. And so I think that's what we've learned.
Yeah, and you're thinking about your program as a whole at Kingsburg. I was able to visit your practice on a Tuesday before your game against Washington Union that we broadcasted, and it was a lot of fun. And you said, oh, there's a JV team over there, and asked you how many kids were in your program, and said about 100.
Yeah.
Right? And then when your practice was done, see the little Kingsburg, what they call them, the Mighty Mites, the Little Mites.
Mighty Mites, Pee-wees, juniors, and seniors. Four levels.
Four levels. Yeah. I saw them all out there, and they're
the
little
Lions.
Pads.
They're called the Lions, okay, because our Lions Club in the community, they run our Pop Warner program. They've been doing it for years.
Yeah.
And so it's a lot of fun. The little guys used to be called the Lumpy Lions. That's what we were called. So yeah,
before the politically correct.
Well, I think there was a guy. I think there was a guy in the. The story goes is there was a guy in the Lions Club, and his name was Lumpy, and he was very involved in Pop Warner, and so they called him the Lumpy Lions. I think it's great.
Was that on his birth certificate? Was that his nickname?
I don't know. I'd have to ask Steve Safarjan. He's the one who told me the story. But they do it. We have so much appreciation for the Lions Club. They're football through and through. So.
Absolutely. But and you mentioned how your defense is mostly juniors. So, I mean, you guys are going to be good for a while, right? And that's a testament to the parent involvement, mm-hmm, and the coaches that volunteer their time to help with those little lumpies.
Yeah. Listen, to have a successful football program, it takes people like that. You know, I'd like to sit here and tell you that it's me. It's not me. You know, I get to enjoy the labor that goes on when these kids are in second, third, fourth, fifth grade and moving forward. There's a lot of people that have their hand in what we do. And so, and I'm extremely appreciative, you know, and because I can't do it all, you know. And I tell our coaches, you know, especially new coaches, I love new coaches because, you know, I tell them there's coaching high school football, and then there's coaching high school football in Kingsburg. There's some wonderful things about that, you know, but then there's also some added pressure that goes along with it when you have a lot of people invested.
Yeah,
that, you know, we want to do well. You know, we want to treat people well. And hey, not everyone's happy. I mean, you can't please everybody, unfortunately. Yeah. But when you go
out to eat, are you bombarded with questions like you can't go to Los Pepes downtown?
I try to. And I embrace it. I'm a guy in the community. I mean, I'm not some celebrity. You know, there's one of the Wilson twins. That's pretty much what they say. And I enjoy when people want to talk football because they care about it, you know, and if they care about it, that's a good thing.
Yeah.
I think I'd be more concerned if nobody wanted to talk about it. You know?
Absolutely. And you've had, there's been a lot of legacy players that have.
Oh, this all
Kingsburg.
Predates me, Paul.
No,
you know,
it does.
I'm just a part of it.
I mean, going back to even, you know, Rafer Johnson, and junior high is named after him, and the track, right, mm-hmm, at the stadium is named after Rafer Johnson. I mean, what an incredible man he was. But, how about that Voorhees kid from USC? You got to coach him, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. I coached Andrew for 3 years.
Andrew, so what, 6'5"? What is he up to now? Is he 6'6"? What is he?
Yeah, he's about 6'6". He's about 320.
And he's projected to be a pretty high NFL pick.
Yeah,
this
no,
year.
He's an anomaly, man. I don't make those guys. They just are born, you know. And I thought he was going to go to the draft last year. Actually, it was funny. I was at school last spring, and I got visits from the Rams. I got visits from, I want to say, the Raiders. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, I've never talked to, like, the NFL people, you know. And he decided to come back for one more year. He thought it'd be advantageous to get one more year. And I think it's working out for him. I think last year he told me he was projected about maybe a third or fourth, and now we're looking more like first or second, which
maybe
is a big deal.
First. I've been reading up on that. Do you have any stories about him? Like, how in the world are we going to get –
Andrew, we had some pretty good teams when he played. We didn't quite have the skill that we have now, but gosh, he was so good. The one thing that impressed me about Andrew all the time was just not necessarily how good of a football player was, but just how he sort of acted. And the stories are awesome when the recruiters would come and see him. It always used to make me laugh because, you know, recruiters used to tell me, hey, you know, when you see a guy and you say, hey, he's 6 foot whatever and he's 300 pounds almost, you know, usually they say, I expect to see kind of a big bellied guy.
Yeah.
They're usually a little chubby. Andrew would walk in. I mean, his chest was bigger than his. He had a flat stomach, and he just filled the doorway. And I used to love to just watch the eyes of the recruiters. And there was always, you know, any high school coach knows, you know, when the recruiters come, it's not necessarily they can talk to them, but they would always bump into them, you know, quotes, yeah. You know, and hey, if I could bump into Andrew, that'd be great. And, and so I'd say, hey, come by the office, and he'd come in. Every time, it never failed. You know, he'd come in and they'd look at him and their eyes would get big and they'd say hi to him and then they'd walk out and then they'd look at, I mean, the moment he would walk out, hey, go ahead and let Andrew know we're going to offer him.
Yeah, exactly.
I was like, oh, okay. But Andrew, I was always impressed. He's always been, he was a mature, he's still mature. He's married, you know, and he's in college he's doing it, man. I'm proud of him. You know, I try not to bug him. I don't want to be that high school coach that's just, you know. But every time I text him, he texts me back.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And I appreciate him.
That's awesome. All right, we got it about another minute here. Okay. Time always flies when we have a chat. And, again, I appreciate you coming up here, Coach Wilson. But if you could have a podcast not related to football.
Uh-huh.
What would you start a podcast on?
Oh, that would, you know, me and a teacher friend of mine, Mark Jensen. He's a colleague of mine. He used to be the baseball coach at Kingsburg High, and now he's just teaching. We always felt like it would be fun to have a podcast, and you can relate to this, Paul, because I could see you and John Goetz doing this, just talking about being a teacher and the things that we run into with these students. I don't think people realize. Be in the classroom, the things that happen, you know, and I think we always say we'd probably have to do it after we retire because we wouldn't want to, you know, we wouldn't want to upset anybody, obviously. But I think people would be interested in listening to teachers talk about just classroom experiences and stories and stuff like that.
Every day is a new experience.
Absolutely.
And our eighth grade teacher, and, you know, our fourth grade teacher is your first cousin, John Goetz. And you say, man, if they can make a documentary about what goes on in a week in the classroom and outside the classroom and, you know, on the playground or whatever, it would be a Netflix special for
sure. Right. I have friends that criticize, you know, you're a teacher. You guys don't work that. I go, you need to come into my classroom. I go, you'll thank me.
Wild, wacky cast of characters for sure. All right, Dave, always fun to talk to you.
Thanks, Paul.
Yeah, Kingsburg Vikings are having an incredible year. You know, we've given you guys a lot of love, and it's deservedly so because you run an incredible program there, and you got great kids as well. So thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
All right, coming up after the break, talking more high school football. Trevor Horn, Garces, sports information director, knows Bakersfield through and through, was their main prep writer for a lot of years at Bakersfield, California. So coming up, talking to Trevor after the break on 1430 ESPN.
In a world where high school sports don't exist. Wait, no. We don't like that world. Different world, please. Ah, that's better. The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Central Valley Sports Report. I am your host, Paul Medders. You can follow me on the Twitter at PaulMeadors. Just had a great conversation with Kingsburg head coach Dave Wilson. Oh, man, just love talking to him. He does an incredible job down there. And, we've had a lot of good conversations over the last year or so. And the Vikings are looking good. And, you know, they're going to be a top seed, one of the top two seeds, actually the number two seed in Division II. And this is a wild and wacky time, talking about high school playoffs and what they might look like. And no better person that I want to talk to at a time like this than my guy, Trevor Horn, Garces Sports Information Director, Assistant Athletic Director, Assistant Technology Director. He does everything and anything over there at Garces. Wrote for the Bakersfield, California, and that's when I got to know him. He's a guy that whenever I get together with him, give him a big old bear hug because he's an awesome guy. Love talking to Trev. Trev, what's going on this Saturday, man? How you doing?
I'm going to go ahead and say this off the bat. Division I should be 8 teams. Let's go with that. Let's move forward.
All right. You're starting off with the fastball, man. No softballs from you. So what's all right.
Morning.
Talk
not
to me, man. Let's go. Let's go. What do you got?
Not after what happened last night. Hi, good morning. By the way, Paul, how are you? Are we in the opening segment for this show?
Yes.
So this is how we're. This is how you're.
No. I've been on for an hour. Sorry, I've been on for an hour.
Oh, okay.
And I wanted to. I wanted to be. You know, you to be one of the headliners to open up the second half of the show because I know you always bring it.
So everybody's had coffee. We're ready to go with this.
Yeah.
Okay.
This is your platform now.
I honestly, you look at this and we kind of see how everything shakes out. And by the way, all of you guys up north now kind of feel how we felt down here in Bakersfield for the better part of the last month, is there's no clear-cut favorite anymore across the board, except for maybe CVC and D2 if the Cavaliers and Mason Hughes choose not to go D1, which I hope they do. I really do, because I want to see them battle with everybody else. But last night, and I'm sure you guys have talked about it for the last hour, my goodness, how that just shakes everything up for the top four in the Central Section in Division One. This is what high school football is all about. It's about parity, and I think that's exactly what we got last night. But when you look at it, I don't think Redwood should be a Division One team. You better bet that Garces, we've only got 26 kids on the roster right now that are healthy. We're not a Division One program. I don't think Hanford should go D1. I don't think Centennial is a D1 team. I don't think any of those teams have any business in Division One this year. And if we're looking at, if you're holding Steadfast, and I like Ryan Toss, he's a good dude, you like him as much as I do, they need to get in that room next Saturday and go, you know what? 8 teams is enough. Let's just go forward with that and then let D2 battle it out. Because if we did that, D2 would be so much fun this year and so competitive.
Well, I think D2 is going to be competitive, you know, no matter what. And I know Garces has had such an interesting season, and we're going to get into that a little bit. Okay, so I've heard it on good authority, though, that it is going to be 12 teams no matter what. So we talk a lot about those fringe Division I teams all the time. I mean, the Hanfords and the Redwoods. When you think about those schools, Division I doesn't pop into your head. Right, those aren't the first things you think of when you think of those schools. Yeah, to me, if I was in charge of the playoffs, right, those are Division II teams. But I would just have, before the season, I would have, okay, you are a Division II team, no matter how good you are, right? Whether you're at your 10-0 or 0-10. Well, I guess you got to win 3 games, but 3-7, right? You are a Division II team. You're going to stay in Division II. You're going to stay in Division IV. No, none of this moving up and down. But you know, this is what we're going with. It's just the way it is.
Paul, I actually like the availability. It's better than last year, where it was whatever you are in Cal Prep, that's where you go. And then you saw like a Wasco having to play D2, and yeah, they beat Centennial, but then you get some teams that it's just like Bishop had no reason to be in D2 last year, but they were in there because of the way they was factored. So I actually like this one up, one down criteria right now. And I think it actually makes it a little bit more competitive, because you're going to get a D2 team like Clovis West, who is technically a D2 team in terms of the power rank, the base divisional rankings going into this year. Up until last night, Clovis wasn't the best team. And I know Cal Preps has put out their divisions. I don't agree with their top four right now whatsoever at this point going forward. I don't.
Top four, Clovis West, Buchanan, Liberty, and Central. And then there's San Joaquin Memorial, number 5, according to this. But
I don't agree with this whatsoever right now. I think it should go Liberty, Central, Buchanan, Clovis West, top four. And then probably Clovis North, Clovis, San Joaquin Memorial, St. Joe's after that. And you could flip-flop any of those 5 through 8 and be fine. But hear me out on this. Why that matters, I think Liberty has been the top team moving forward. We'll get into that, especially here in Bakersfield. Central's win last night, that dominated win over Clovis West, should push them up to number 2. And I am factoring in Buchanan's win over Central, only because one score wins shouldn't factor in head-to-head competition. What should factor in is the point spread when Central just drubs Clovis West last night. And I don't know what happened with Clovis West. I don't know if they were sick. I know our JV team, half the team was sick, and we had our top 5 players not even play last night. So I get when situations like that happen. However, you got to look at that Central win last night and go, maybe they're playing the best football right now. And I think they are.
Yeah, but those three losses hurt. Yeah, so those three losses to Buchanan, Liberty, and San Joaquin Memorial hurt Central.
They do, but when you go back and look at it, you've got to kind of factor in, what is a 2-point loss to Memorial 2 months ago? What is it really at this point in the season? I've always looked at the rankings as who's playing the best now, not what – I mean, games are going to happen as they happen, but – who's playing the best right now and who is in the right position moving forward to do the most damage when you get into the playoffs. And I think it's Central and Liberty right now. I think those two teams are setting themselves apart the way that they've been playing in the last 4 weeks.
Well, that's the human element, right? And the human yeah. element on this has been taken out. So, you know, if it was a committee or if it was a bunch of guys that got together and hashed it out and figured it out, yes, you talk about how good a team is playing at this moment. But then, right, then you got to look at, well, that was the first game of the year, you know, when San Joaquin Memorial beat shut out Clovis North. So there's just so much debate, so much discussion about these playoffs.
Well, and then you got to look in the transfer portal within the Central Sections website and see who's gotten the most out of their sit out period transfers.
Yeah.
Because that factors in. Because those losses in September, who had it? I mean, gosh. Can we just talk about Garces' strength of schedule in the first 7 weeks and just why we're talking about a team that is 3-6 right now, possibly being in Division One? Those things, the strength of schedule factors in. I mean, you look at Centennial, a 7-0 team, and they were rolling the first 7 weeks of the season, but their strength of schedule didn't match up to the likes of Liberty, Garces, even Bakersfield Christian, Frontier, and then we've kind of seen how that's matriculated the last 2 weeks, getting blown out 2 weeks ago against Liberty, and then Garces coming back after being shut out in the first half to win 24-14 over the Golden Hawks. So a lot, I mean, there's just so many different factors this year, and it's so intriguing, especially that number 12 is really just, you're looking at that, do we really need 12 teams in D1? It's going to be really interesting to see how it shakes out a week from today.
Well, and then we've talked a lot down here on our radio shows about just how really good is Garces. And, you know, we actually figured that you guys were going to beat Centennial last night. And, you know, it was a big win, 24-14. It was a big win for a few yeah. reasons. First of all, gave you that third win, so you did qualify for playoffs. And I know you played Stockdale yeah. in the last game of the year. And, I think you guys are going to do well against Stockdale.
Yeah.
But just how good is Garces?
Don't know. it's a day in day out basis with us. I think we have great kids. I think we run the ball really hard. I think our offensive line has really solidified themselves. Very unconventional front six on the defensive side of the ball, but that's very Paul Gola-esque, is to get the most out of whoever you got on the field. I think we're running the ball as well as anybody right now. Another 300-yard performance. Jordan Gallegos, senior quarterback, went for 119 yards on 12 carries. The defense, again, got three takeaways last night. One of them was a fumble recovery as Centennial was looking to take a two-score lead, and they fumbled the ball on the five. David Smith, who's been our top running back, also plays safety for us, came up and grabbed that ball. Past the line of scrimmage, and then late in the game after we took a 24-14 lead, picked off Adam Kopas twice. Cage Williams went up, and Jackson Santiago might be the second best wide receiver I've seen this year behind Makai Lemon from Los Alamitos, 6'2", 215. I mean, just goes up and gets every 50-50 ball, but late in the game, Cage Williams came up, and Adam, you know, Kopas threw it up, and it was a 50-50 ball, and Cage stepped right in front of Jackson, went up and got it at the highest point. Garces was able to score on the next drive to make it 24-14, and then the very next play, Kopas threw it up again, and on the opposite side of the field, Nate Wallace was able to pick it off, and Rams were able to go into victory formation. But it's one of those teams where, I mean, we're starting to – I think the Rams are really starting to roll. We're really starting to roll. I think the Frontier loss was a real eye-opener. Because when you look at losses to, like, Los Alamitos, Lincoln at San Diego, you know, Los Alamitos is top 10 in the state. Lincoln out of San Diego is top 25 in the state. And you've got Memorial, which was a 7-6 game at halftime. You've got that Liberty loss. That was a 13-0 loss. I mean, nobody in town has come anywhere close to playing Liberty like that. Liberty's beaten Ridgeview 35-0, Stockdale 42-0, Centennial 41-7, and then last night a 45-7 drubbing of Frontier. You know, you look at those wins and you wonder, how did they lose to Frontier? I think it was like after coming in on a four-game losing streak, we scored on the opening drive and then just allowed them to kind of just play all over us in the first half, and it was 21-6. We ended up taking a 22-21 lead after the first two drives in the third quarter, and then it went back and forth, scored, and then we went for a two-point conversion and just missed getting that point conversion, much like the Raiders did 2 weeks ago. So lost 28-20. Again, it's a one-point loss. What is a one-point loss? And Cal Preps is kind of showing that it doesn't really matter because they still have Frontier five spots behind Garces in the rankings. A lot of times it's because of what is a quality loss and what isn't a quality loss? What's a quality win and what isn't a quality win? And I think you got to look at all of those different factors. And again, that goes back to why is Clovis West, no offense to Clovis West, but why is Clovis West still number one in the Central section after getting such a beatdown last night? I don't understand it. Central and Liberty don't have losses like that. Buchanan doesn't have a loss that bad. Clovis West probably shouldn't be the number one team in the Central section right now.
We're talking with Trevor Horn, the Bakersfield area, works for Garces High School. So I got to ask you this, though. All right, so let's how do you think Garces would do? Let's say they're a 10 seed or so in Division One versus, I don't know, a 3, 4, 5 seed in Division Two.
In Division Two, I think it's wide open. I think if CDC doesn't go D1, which
you think they might petition to go up?
If I'm Mason and I like Mason a lot, if I'm 10-0. Do I want to risk, you know, losing in the quarterfinals or having a tough battle in the quarterfinals or the semifinals in D1? Or do I want to put my boys to the test knowing that this might be – is this the best CDC team ever?
Yes.
Maybe? Yes. Yes. Thank you.
Yes, right?
Give it a shot. Give it a shot. See what happens. But I'm not the athletic director. I'm not Mason, the head coach. It's not my decision. But if it was me – I'd say, let's go. Kind of like Garrett Brown did with Bakersfield Christian's boys basketball team last year. D3 base, he didn't want to play D2. He wanted to play D1. And they went out and they won the D1 title. Go for it. See what happens.
But how do you think Garces would do, in the middle?
In D2?
Yeah.
Oh, I think right now, the way I have it, I looked at right now, I've got Garces. If it went to an 18 Division One, Garces would be the 2 seed in D2. And I think that would be a great battle between them or Kingsburg or Hanford or Lemoore or Redwood, another matchup against Frontier. I think that you have a very competitive, very, very competitive division too in that aspect too, because between Garces, Kingsburg, Hanford, you throw in BCHS, Centennial. I think it'd be a lot of fun in division two and see what happens. Lemoore's in there, 100%. That game Friday night, Lemoore-Hanford has a lot of implications on the line in that one. If Hanford beats Lemoore and beats them handedly, Hanford may push themselves back into Division One very easily and might be a top 8 seed in Division One with a big win over Lemoore Friday night. But what we need to see out of Hanford, we got to figure out what Hanford's going to do, because aren't they playing tonight?
Yes, they're playing tonight.
Against Mission Oak?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they're going to put up a lot of points tonight.
Yeah, if Hanford puts up a bunch of points against Mission Oak tonight and they beat Lemoore, Hanford's going to push themselves in the top 8 in Division One.
I want to ask you this, Trevor. What percentage of the coaches do you think really study the Cal Preps rankings, like, you know, guys like you and I do, versus the ones that, like, hey, I don't care, just have our AD tell us who we're playing in the playoffs? So what do you think the percentage of coaches?
I think it's 50-50. I think you get some guys like, I would say Kyle Biggs would be a guy that's really looking at it because he's really kind of into that type of stuff. But I think a lot of them are just, you know, nose of the grind. They don't really care about, you know, what could be. They care about what is and what's right in front of them. And a lot of times what's right in front of them is Central playing Clovis North this week. Is that going to be a tough game?
Yeah.
It's Buchanan and Clovis East. Can Clovis East play tight with them? And then you got the Clovis West Clovis game. Is Clovis going to beat Clovis West? I say yes. But that's just me. I mean, so those coaches are not worried about what's going to happen in a week and a half or in a week. They're worried about what they need to do in the next 5 days to get ready 6 days from now.
And what do you prefer? What do you like better? Do you like, the home seeds getting the Central Section Championship game, or the higher seeds, I should say? Or do you like, playing at one venue? I know, the Celand Arena is one of my favorite times of the year when they got all the games back to back to back and, you know, 2-day extravaganza. But football's different, right? But, you know, you still like the higher seeds getting that home game?
I've seen it both ways. You know, we've never had a one site here in the Central Section since I've been here. But when I was in Sacramento, they play them all They used to play them at U Stadium at Sac City. Now they play them at Hornet Stadium at Sac State. I think it's kind of a toss-up. It depends on how you really feel about it. I think within the Sac Joaquin section, it works a little bit better because they're all within about an hour of each other,
yeah.
Other than the Modesto schools. But Stockton to Sacramento, I mean, it's really not that far of a distance to drive where, you know, we're talking about an hour and a half to 2 hours, depending on traffic, for some of our schools. If you had a Liberty, you know, trying to get up to, say they play them at Fresno State, Liberty trying to get up to Fresno State, I mean, it's a tough haul. And then you're asking all those families and all those student sections, all that kind of stuff. And if they're the one seed, why would they want to go all the way up to Fresno and have to take all of their, you know, take everybody up there and hope the whole school travels up and watches, or they could play it at home, or vice versa. What if they wanted to play it at Bakersfield College, which seats 20,000 people, and which was an absolute great venue when Liberty beat Pittsburgh in the NorCal D1 regional bowl game last year? You know, you got about 8,500 people in that game, and that's a lot for a high school football game this day and age. So it's kind of a toss-up, really, how you want to look at it. What benefits the higher seed, though? I think that's what they look at.
Yeah.
Is you have multiple venues. You sign contracts. We know we're going to have at least one game at Fresno State. We know we're going to have at least two games at Mineral Bowl.
Am I saying that?
Yeah.
So Mineral King Bowl.
That's your central location. And then you put Bakersfield College, and that's your southern location. You got six divisions, three sites. If there's a high seed in Fresno in D5, they get to play at Fresno State. If there's a CVC and they're a high seed in D2 and they're the number one seed, throw them, you know, at COS. And then if Liberty is the number one seed, put them at BC. But then you also got to factor in, Paul, ticket gate. Who gets that money? And how do you divvy that up?
Yeah, absolutely.
Because the athletic departments, I'll tell you this right now, the athletic departments, they want that money.
for sure. And I know, selfishly speaking, I like it at one venue. And, you know, we had the baseball championships at Rye Stadium, Visalia, and a couple, you know, Fresno, Clovis schools going to play there. That just seems out of place. And, you know, with that St. Joe's, I go back to that Clovis West and St. Joseph's basketball game last year for the Open Division Championship in boys. And, God, what an incredible venue that was. And being able to see the students celebrate with their classmates on the court, and you know that's a very, very special time for that. All right, Trev, we got about another minute, and you know we got to talk about food, right? When you and I get together, yeah, we talk about food, or we could talk about, you know, some pop culture stuff as well. But here's a question for you: best chicken, you go Cane's or you go Chick-fil-A? What's your choice?
I only because of proximity, I go Cane's. Because the Chick-fil-A is so far away from our house, but Chick-fil-A is the spot for me, 100%.
Is it the sauce that puts it over the top or what?
No, because I think Cane's sauce is what does it. I think Cane's chicken is average. It's the sauce that just puts them over the top, and why it's so delicious for me. Chick-fil-A, it's the simplicity of the food. It's the taste of the food. And it's kind of quickness that they get you through the drive-thru, and they're always so friendly at Chick-fil-A.
Well,
and my buddy Troy owns a Chick-fil-A here, so I can't.
Maybe you get a little couple discount coupons here and there. Well, I think I flipped a little bit. I think I'm back on Cane's, and it's the bread. Right, it's the bread, that little slice of bread. You could get an extra one for $1.39. Yeah, that's I'm addicted to those little bad boys right now. So yeah,
But I love a Chick-fil-A sandwich. There's just something so simplistic, and then you just, you know, you take pieces of it off and you dip it in a Chick-fil-A sauce and you keep going.
All right, Trevor Horn.
Now Chick-fil-A, those minis, those little minis that they serve for breakfast at Chick-fil-A, those are bomb. Those are fantastic.
So you go there for breakfast every once in a while before 10 a.m.
Yeah.
Trevor, always great to talk to you. Love you, my friend, and we'll talk to you soon. Good job.
Hey, can I say one thing before we go?
What do you got?
18s and D1. Have a good day.
All right, have a good day. All right, there he is, Trevor Horn.
See you, brother.
Love Trevor. Always speaks his mind. Good job by him. All right, coming up after the break, we got our 1430 ESPN Student Athlete of the Week from Edison. Y'all, Jay. He's in the house right now. Yajay Vance had an incredible game a couple weeks ago. Had another good game last night. So we'll be talking with him coming up on 1430 ESPN. Valley Sports Report, 1430 ESPN. God, time just goes by so fast on these shows. Had a great conversation with Kingsburg coach Dave Wilson. Talked with Trevor Horn. Oh, man, Trevor never minces words, man. That guy is awesome. He does a great job. He knows the Central Valley sports as good as anyone. He's an award-winning writer, and he does an incredible job. All right. We got our 1430 ESPN Student Athlete of the Week from Edison, Yajay Vance. Reason why I brought this kid on, so a couple weeks ago, I got this text pretty late a couple weeks ago. I don't know, around 11:30. It said, Edison quarterback, 499 yards passing, 8 touchdowns in a 58-40 win against Justin Garza. All right, pretty incredible. His 8 touchdowns are second most in Central Section history to 9, a Bakersfield Christian quarterback. Had 9 touchdown passes in 2013. Now, after last night's win, you guys are 5-4. I think you had, 4 more passing touchdowns last night, a rushing touchdown as well. Also got Coach Mike Stamps here. Excited to talk to you guys. First of all, Yajay, welcome, man. Thanks for coming.
Thank you.
Coach, thanks for coming as well.
No problem.
All right. So I want to talk about last night's game, right? You guys played Madera in a 56-10. Does that sound right? Were you guys playing at home?
No, we were in Madera.
We were in Madera in that game. Am I right on that score?
No, I think it was they had a little more.
They had a little more. Okay. Yeah. Maybe that was one point of the game. So coming off of that, you know, you guys are putting up a lot of points now, right? So, Yajay, you just feel like right now the offense is just clicking. Like you got good chemistry with your guys.
Yes, for sure. It's just like ever since that game versus Sanger, we're just like clicking in now, like we're locked in.
And you had your two main receivers in that big game that you had against Justin Garza. Dejure Malone, 6 catches for 192 and 4 touchdowns. Rashad Perry, 6 catches for 196 and 2 touchdowns. I finally got to see the clips of those plays on your huddle yesterday, and you were throwing dimes, man. You were on point. You were money in that game. So you mentioned how both those guys are sophomores.
Yeah.
Right? So talk about the chemistry that you've developed with those guys. You just have the utmost confidence. You just put it in a certain spot, those guys are going to get it.
Yeah, it was just like a over the summer thing. Like we just clicked so quick. It was like I didn't know them like personally, but like after that, it just like clicked easily.
Are they big receivers or are they about 5'10", you know, like 170? Yeah. Coach is shaking his head. I'm like, no. What are they? Like, is it speed guys or what?
Yeah, speed guys. Dejure is actually like 5'5 or 5'6.
Oh, yeah?
He's just fast.
Okay.
And Rashad Perry, he's about 5'10". He's lengthy, shifty. Yeah.
All right. Yajay Vance, he's a senior. So, Coach Stamps, let's go back to that Justin Garza game. You're calling plays, right? And everything's just clicking. You know you're going to dial this play up. Boom, touchdown.
Yeah, well, for me, everything is always there. Everything I call is always there. It just depends on if my if my guys are actually doing what they're supposed to do. You know, sometimes they get excited. I call a play, and they know it's going to be there, and they get there too quick, or, you know, they do an extra move or whatever. But I think the chemistry between Yajay and all these young receivers are real well. What he was talking about, let me piggyback off of the summer. You know, that was the first summer we actually had a 7-on-7 session. You know, Yajay plays basketball. Those other guys were freshmen last year. So I lost my whole receiving core. All of them were seniors. So now we got these young guys waiting for, you know, the senior quarterback to come in and gel. So that 7-on-7 summer, Yajay really got to dial in on offense, see exactly what I'm looking for, what is open, take what the defense gives. And now he's cerebral. It's second nature. And, you know, the receivers trust him. You know, so he just tell him where to go. You know, I call a play. He kind of reads it and knows exactly where to put it and when to put it. He even buys times with his legs, I think, a little too much. but he runs to actually look for the receivers, which is a great thing.
And in that game, 8 touchdowns is good for second in the Central Section. coach, did you know, did you even know what the record was? And did you figure out like, oh, our dude's got 5 touchdowns. Oh, now he's got 6. Wow, 7? Oh, he's up to 8? That's got to be something.
I never know because so many great people has came through Edison. I think these records are unattainable. So nobody really thinks about records.
Yeah.
So I know my quarterback coach is a real stat guy, Kyle Thornton. And Yaja has 5, and he goes, Coach, he comes up to me during the game, you know the record is 6. And I say, Kyle, get away from me. I don't want that in my head. I just want to call my offense. And when he hits 6, you know, I'm like, I talked to the principal, Mr. Joey Munoz. I go, hey, that's 6. I just need to make sure he's recognized. It was third quarter. I'm going, well, I mean, this shit ain't slowing down, so go ahead and go for 10, Yaja. Go ahead and do your thing. And so he went for 2 more.
Well, it's a tight game, right? I mean, 58-40 was the final score. Yeah. So, you know, they're scoring, you're scoring. You got to keep going.
Those young guys over there are very competitive. I think Yosef is doing a great job with them. They're going to be a real promising team.
No, yeah.
But, yes.
Absolutely. So, Yaja, when did obviously you knew you were having a good game in that moment. When did you – was it after the game when the coaches came up to you and said – bro, you threw 8 touchdowns. You broke a school record. Like when did you find out?
I didn't find out till after the game, but my quarterback coach, he was telling me, he was just like telling me he was putting up numbers, and I'm like, what does that mean? Yeah, and then I was just like, I just kept going. I had like no thought.
Yeah. You're just in the moment, right? You're just playing the game. So talking with Yaja Vance, quarterback for Edison High School. What were your teammates like saying after the game?
They were just hyped. They were like hyped for me and hyped with me because I'm like, we broke a record. Like, who would have ever thought?
And the 4 receiving touchdowns for Malone is also a school record. Is that right, too?
It is. It is. And we thought, we didn't even think that was a record. It all happened by, I'm not going to say accident. We just run our offense.
Yeah.
When everybody does what they need to do, this record honestly probably couldn't have been broke games ago. But, yeah, Malone is a great explosive receiver. All of them are great young guys, and future is very promising.
Absolutely. So Rashad Perry is the son of late Tony Perry.
Grandson
of Tony Perry, sorry. And, you know, I know he had a big impact, and I had conversations with Tony, and, you know, he's a great man. And you could go down the line and just, you know, pretty much everybody you run into, Tony Perry helped them out. So, you know what? He means something to you guys, and you know, what was his impact?
Oh, most definitely. He was around before I was at the varsity level, and he coached me as well. But he's always been a pillar in the community, always been a positive light in dark areas. And to keep that legacy going on for him is real big. You know, I got a big poster banner in my room, and just to remind everybody of, you know, one person that's came through that has a major impact on us coaches and players. Especially his grandson.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, Yaja, did you pick up some college interest after that game? I heard that, you know, obviously that tape is out there. Did any colleges contact you or Coach Stamps, or you heard about anybody talking to you?
Yeah, Coach Stamps has said there's been some talking about me, but none have hit me personally. But yeah.
What do you think about the potential of this guy, Coach?
Oh, my gosh. I don't know why college is not beating my door down about this guy. He is amazing. Even if he was to go somewhere, I know he'd beat somebody out of their spot. But, you know, I know college guys have, you know, their jobs to do, and they have games on Saturdays. But I'm just waiting for the busload offer to come in for this kid. He's amazing.
And you talk about the cerebral part of the game, and I know you guys have a good relationship. Obviously, the offensive coordinator and the head coach with their quarterback, it's the most important position on the field. But you guys like studying defenses together. You like, calling play, you know, discussing plays, or, you know, Yaja, what does that look like, your relationship with coach talking about, you know, how to attack a certain defense?
It's great because, like, we're on the same mindset. I know exactly what he's thinking. He knows what I'm thinking. Because I remember this one exact play at Hoover. Well, he was going to let me call a play. And we knew what coverage were that they were in. So I was like, okay, let's run this play. And he had the same exact thought. And it was like crazy.
And did it work?
Yep.
Do you remember the play call?
Yeah.
What was the play call? Coach, you remember it? Well, you know, not exactly. All right, give me an example of a play call, Coach. What Can you share with us one on air what it might sound like?
Yeah, so I go, Yaje, middle field, open or close, right? He'll tell me either open or close. I'm like, so what am I thinking? He'll be like, well, if the middle field's open, we can throw a nine route right there, right? We can run Miami, which is a dig. He calls certain plays that we can attack the weaknesses of the defense. And those plays exactly what's in my head. So if I send in a play and I know it's going to be a touchdown, I'm already throwing my hands up. I'm like, if Yaje is thinking like I'm thinking, it's touchdown. And 10 out of 10 times, he is thinking the way I'm thinking. So,
you agree with that, Yaje? You just on the same page with Coach?
Yep, for sure.
How has he helped mentor you and become the quarterback that you are right now?
He helped a lot. Like, there's a lot of stuff that I didn't know, but that he, like, really teach me and elaborated on it.
You guys end the season? Where do you end the season? Where's your game next week?
Bullard. We play at Sunnyside.
Play Bullard at Sunnyside? Mm-hmm. All right. What are you looking forward to in that game? Obviously, you guys are rolling, and Bullard's struggling a little bit. They're 3-6, and what are you guys looking forward to in that game, Coach?
I seen film on them. They are underrated. You know, I think they're still a great team. We just have some unfinished business, and it's a crosstown rivalry with us and Bullard. So we're looking for an exciting game, competitive. Donnie's great.
Yeah.
So
that's going to be a fun game. All right, Yaje, I want to ask you a couple things too. Like, when did you first start to play football? Did you play like in the little, I don't know what you call it, little peewees? Or
yeah.
When did you first start to play football?
I started, I want to say, at 4 or 5 years old. I was playing for Edison Peewees. Yeah, I always play for Edison.
Were you good back then, or were you just okay?
Yeah, I was good.
Yeah, you stood out early?
Yeah, I was average, but I was, like, good.
Did you always play quarterback, or did you play other positions?
No, I started off at running back. And then I had, I want to say, my 4th and 5th grade year, I went to receiver. And my friend was at quarterback, and then we flipped positions 5th grade year. And then ever since then, I just went up with it.
Okay, so what elementary school did you go to?
At first I went to Edison Bethune, and then I went to Gibson, 4th through 6th grade.
And then where'd you go to junior high?
Tenaya Middle School.
You went to Tenaya?
Yeah.
All right. And then and now Edison. All right, so you also play basketball?
Yeah.
All right, so we broadcasted your game against Bullard last year. Got to watch you play. So you averaged 18.5 points a game last year. What do you love more, football or basketball? I know you got Coach sitting to your left, so I don't know. This is a pretty big question right here.
Well, my heart loves, like, basketball, but, like, football is, like, where it's at.
That's what I was going to say.
Like, that's where the most fun is at.
Nothing like Friday Night Lights, right?
Yeah.
All right. What would you prefer most? A dunk in a game, let's say against Bullard, right? Breakaway, you get to cram it against Bullard, or do you like a perfect 50-yard touchdown pass?
I'll take the 50-yard touchdown. It's just more hype.
Good answer. Good answer. All right. So, do you have some college plans, or what if a college scholarship doesn't come your way? Would you be okay with going to a junior college and developing your skills more and then maybe going to a 4-year?
Yeah, for sure. That would be fine by me.
So, Coach, again, you said you think that school should be knocking down your door right now with this guy. So what do you think, though? You've seen his strengths. I'm sure you've seen his weaknesses as well. What do you think he needs to do to play at the next level? Like, as a player, what does he need to get better at?
I thought Yaje needed to improve on when I first seen him was just his throwing, right? I know he can run. He's got a nice size. But I said if he can get that throwing together, he is going to be a problem. And Coach Kyle Thornton came over, and he dialed that arm in. And Yaje is a beautiful thing to see nowadays because I've seen where he came from to what he has evolved to. So what he needs to do to get – D1, he just needs the opportunity. There's not too much he needs to actually do physically. He knows the mindset. He can read the defense. He's a student of the game. He can make plays with his legs. He can step him in the pocket. He is the full package. You can see over the line. So there's not too much I think he need to work on. He probably need to be put in the system to where he can flourish, but he's He just needs the opportunity.
What are you, about 6'2"?
Yeah.
About 6'2"?
With cleats on.
With cleats on?
Yeah.
And you got, yeah, one of the first things when you came here to First String Sports, I shook your hand. And that's one of the things I look for in quarterbacks. You got to have those big hands to grip that football. And, yeah, and you definitely can you can grip it and rip it, man. Again, going back to those highlights, I was really impressed. So, guys, right now, according to Cal Preps, and I don't know how much you study this, but we talk a lot about these rankings on the show. You guys are 5-4. You guys are 32 overall, but you guys are a base Division I. First of all, I guess I ask you, Coach, and I asked this to Trevor Horn, like, what's the percentage of coaches that really follow this? And some coaches say, I really don't care and not into it. Just tell me who we play. Where do you lie with that? Do you really study this stuff? You're like,
I really don't, because I don't think that gives you a clear view of the team. Like, our record does not reflect what kind of team we are. So I don't really study that stuff too much. I just want to focus on our opponent. Look at their weaknesses, our strengths, and see what we have to do to win.
Would you like to play in Division One? Do you think like you could compete with a Division One team?
Oh, yes.
Or are you okay with Division?
No, I'm sure we can compete with the Division One teams. Exactly.
And you guys have played Clovis West, right? Looking at here, so Clovis West, Sanger, right?
Memorial,
Bakersfield. You had that loss to Clovis West and Memorial. And Memorial, man, I mean, you guys put up 20 points on them, right?
We did.
Yeah, Memorial's clicking really good. But, do you feel like your team coach right now is playing the best football they have of the year, peaking at the right time?
I will say after the half of Sanger game, that team is what we are riding on right now. And those guys are who you're starting to see now. So that team we have right now with the mindset, yes, I'd take on any one of those D1 teams.
I can't wait to see how you guys do against Bullard.
Oh, my God.
You probably can't wait to play in that game. Yajay, a couple more minutes here. I definitely want to ask you about your name, right? So it's spelled YA'J with a capital J.
Yep.
What is the strangest way people have tried to pronounce your name that don't know you? Maybe you're at a doctor's office or something like that, and they call your name out, or a teacher that doesn't know you. What's the strangest way people have said your name?
I would say Yaj or Yajay. They would say it like awkward.
Yeah. And what do you correct them, or you just let it go?
Yaj I let go sometimes, but yeah, sometimes most of the time I'm correcting it.
All right, so yeah. But you said sometimes you sign in your name, though, YAJ, and you don't put that apostrophe.
Yeah.
Right?
Just a little lazy.
Is there a reason why behind your name, your parents tell you, why they named you that?
Yeah. So my dad's name is Jay, and my other brother's name is Jay. So she just flipped it, and now it's YAJ.
There you go. Yeah. That is awesome. I love that. I love that story. One more thing, too. Yajay, that has actually kind of been bothering me a little bit, because when I saw that 499 yards, I'm like, come on, there's got to be one more yard you can find to make that a nice primo 500 number. Come on, go back and go watch that film. You got to go by inches, right? I'm sure if you add up some of those inches, that's going to equal another yard. That 499, that's going to bug me.
We talk about that all the time, and the person responsible for that 1 yard is actually classmates in my classroom with the IJ, and we talk about it all the time.
I think you got to go back in that film. You got to, bring out the ruler or something, yeah, and get that extra yard somewhere. But anyway, 499, that is an incredible number. You're going to go down in the record books. I know Cal High Sports recognized you as their NorCal Player of the Week. Going in the record books by, section historian Bob Barnett does an awesome job. And I'm sure he's already put you in that spreadsheet that he has, and wrote your name down as 8 touchdowns. But first of all, thanks for coming. Really appreciate you guys taking the time, and good luck moving forward. It was a lot of fun talking to you guys.
Thank you. Likewise.
All right. Absolutely. Coach Mike Stamps, Yajay Vance from Edison High. Yeah, I'm being honest, too. Hey, they're dangerous, man. If they are put in Division II, they are going to be a handful for whoever they play. They're going to make some noise. They're playing really, really good football right now. All right, coming up after the break, this is our last break. Going to wrap everything up here on the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN.
Carry on my wayward son. There'll be peace when you are done.
don't you cry no more.
Thank you guys for listening. 2 hours of fun high school football talk here on the Central Valley Sports Report. Thanks to 1430 ESPN for, first of all, giving me this opportunity. This is my second year doing it. And, yeah, I just feel like the interviews that we do with students like Yajay Vance here, and, you know, what a great kid he is. And, you know, he had incredible moments on the football field with that record-breaking game against Justin Garza, getting to know Coach Stamps, talking with head coach Dave Wilson of Kingsburg. Oh, with Trevor Horn, Bakersfield, California for all these years, now works at Garces, and just, you know, talking about high school football and the good stuff, right? I mean, there's the politics, and there's some stuff out there, and of course I hear about that, right? I hear about some of the negative things, but when it comes down to it, it's the hearts and minds of student athletes, and that's what we're here to promote. And, you know, it's not easy to be a high school kid these days. It's not easy. I got two kids in high school right now and one in college. And, you know, this day and age is different. But if we can celebrate kids, bring out the best of them, and, you know, hold our complaining to a minimum, you know, life is so much easier, right? we are so blessed right now to you know, live in this country, be able to do the things that we love. And, you know, high school football is definitely one of them. We got a lot of good games next week. We got the rivalry games. Edison's playing Bullard. Clovis North, Clovis West, you know, Central, Clovis North is playing. There's just tons of great games next week, right? Sanger is playing San Joaquin Memorial. Who knew the Sanger was going to be 4-0 going to that game, right? You look at that schedule like, oh, I didn't think Sanger, they didn't look too good against Clovis East, right? We broadcasted that game. Sanger did not look good, let's be honest. And I'm sure Coach Logue would say the same thing. But they have definitely turned a corner. That is going to be a great game next week. San Joaquin Memorial is rolling. Talk about Brandon Ramirez, an incredible year that kid is having. What, the last 15 touches he's had, 10 for touchdowns? He's going to be a great player at the next level for Fresno State. I believe he's going to be playing on the defensive end, be playing the safety, you know, a strong safety. That's where Coach Pat Hill sees him. Coach Pat Hill says it, I'm going to believe it. Go with what he says. So, again, thank you guys for listening. This is a lot of fun. Make sure you listen to Gabe Camarillo's Home Field Advantage, Monday through Thursday, 3 to 5. Does an incredible job. Follow him at Gabe Camarillo _. Follow me at Paul Medors, PaulMeadors. One more week until playoffs. Until then, we will talk to you soon.
Beyond this loop.